I'd like to talk about time for a little bit for the opening of my message today. Now, as I speak, I know I have approximately however many minutes I want to. No, just kidding. I have approximately 35 to 45 minutes to complete this split sermon. In that period of time, I have to get across a message to you, the audience, and in order to do that, I need to bring forth biblical content to support and sustain that message. I had to develop and prepare ahead of time, otherwise I'd just be babbling up here. Wouldn't do you or I much good. So when you look at it, time is important, and how we use it is just as important. Now there are two ways that we can use time. The first way is to set some type of constraints or limits to our time. Now, no matter what you may think, time limits can and do change. They can change many different things. When we have a set period of time to produce something, say a task to get completed, we put forth the effort to complete it within that time frame. We may have had to prepare for or learn something to help us along the way to complete that task within the set parameters. That's how I usually go about my usual workday. I think we all do that to some degree or another. Then there's a second way. The other way is just simply to set no limits whatsoever, right? When we are free to complete a task at our leisure, what usually happens? Say, oh, I'll get to it tomorrow. Do you get to it tomorrow? No, you don't, do you? Okay, I'll wait till the weekend to get it done. And then that turns into however long it, you may even forget about the task. So getting to it later can limit us. A day becomes a week becomes a month a year. For most of us, setting our own timetable means there's a good chance that whatever task you wanted to get done won't get done. If you would, turn to the book of Exodus. Chapter 15. Actually, 16, excuse me. Exodus 16. Because as we see, manna did not work that way. For those of you who would like a title, the title of my split sermon today is The Time for Manna is Now. Now, here in Exodus 16, the nation of Israel was wandering around in the wilderness and had stopped between Elim and Sinai. And with their food supplies mostly gone by this point in their journey, they started complaining to Moses and to Aaron. And we'll pick it up in verse 3 of chapter 16. It says, "And the children of Israel said to them, Oh, that we had died by the hand of the Lord in the land of Egypt." Why? Why would they say that thing? Well, continue on. It says, "Because we had pots of meat and food. Here, we barely have anything left to survive on." Continuing on in verse 9. "So Moses and Aaron said, Say to all the congregation of the children of Israel, Come near before the Lord, for he has heard your complaints. And then it came to pass, as Aaron spoke to the congregation of the children of Israel, that they looked toward the wilderness, and behold, the glory of the Lord appeared in a cloud. And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, I have heard the complaints of the children of Israel. He says, Speak to them, saying, At twilight you shall eat meat, and in the morning you shall be filled with bread, and you shall know that I am the Lord your God. And so it was. Quail came up in the evening and covered the camp, so they were able to have meat to provide substance for themselves. And then after the dew left it in the morning, there on the surface, in verse 14, of the wilderness was a small round substance, as fine as frost, on the ground. So when the children of Israel saw it, they said to one another, What is this? Because they've never seen it before. And Moses goes on to say that this is the bread which the Lord has given you to eat. This is the thing which the Lord commands. He says, Let every man gather it according to each one's need. One omer for each person, it says, according to the number of persons. Let every man take for those who are in his tent or in their family. Then the children of Israel, verse 17, did so. They gathered, some gathered more, some gathered less, just depending on how many people you had to feed in your family. And so when they measured the omers, he gathered as much. He who gathered much had nothing left over, and he who gathered little had no lack. Every man gathered according to each one's need. So from the moment it appeared each morning, there was a time limit to gather this. God said, you have to get it in the morning, because after the dew lifts away and the sun beats down on the ground, it's going to go away. You're not going to have it. You couldn't sleep in late one morning and decide, I'll get some manna. I was really tired. I was up late the night before. I'll sleep in a little bit and get some. Now, let's say you didn't want to go out and gather manna tomorrow. The obvious solution would be then to stockpile it, right? I'll just gather a lot more today so I have it for tomorrow. Well, it says that any manna that remained overnight bred worms and stank. It was completely useless. Continuing on in verse 19. It says, and Moses said, let no one leave any till the morning. So he told them. Notwithstanding, there are some people that didn't heed Moses' words. He said, but some of them left part of it till the morning. And just as he said, it bred worms and stank. And Moses got angry with the children of Israel. But it didn't work that way every morning. Now did it? In order to keep the Sabbath day holy, the people were allowed to gather another day's worth of manna on Fridays, the sixth day of the week. And then to keep that overnight for the Sabbath day. Continuing on in verse 22, it says, so it was on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for each one. And all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said to them, this is what the Lord said. Tomorrow is the Sabbath rest, what we are observing today, a holy Sabbath to the Lord. So he says, bake what you will bake today, and boil what you will boil, and lay up for yourselves all that remains until the morning. So they did so. And it did not stink, and it did not breed worms. Then Moses said, eat that day, for today is the Sabbath to the Lord, and today you won't find any manna in the field. He says, 6 days you shall gather it, but on the seventh day, the Sabbath, there will be none. So that seems pretty straightforward, right? Sunday to Thursday, you'll go out and gather manna for you and your family, bake and eat it, along with the quail. Then on Friday, you gather twice as much because you wouldn't be able to go out on the Sabbath and gather any. So there were time limits and constraints that God wanted the children of Israel to follow. Those were the rules that he set forth before Moses, and then Moses conveyed them to the nation of Israel. Continuing on in verse 27, it says, now it happened that some people went out on the seventh day, right, to gather some, but they found none. Remember, Moses was angry at them. Continuing on, it says, how long do you refuse to keep my commandments and my laws? It says, see, for the Lord has given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he gives you on the sixth day bread for 2 days. Let every man remain in his place. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day, and the house of Israel called it, the name of it, manna. So the only option for anyone interested in eating anyways, which would probably be everyone, was to be out there in the morning, except on the Sabbath day, gathering your daily quota for your family. Any other route meant a stinky tent or an empty belly. Those are your only options. But was manna the lesson that the Israelites were supposed to get out of all this? It's not the main point that God wanted them to learn. For that, let's go over to the book of Deuteronomy, chapter 8. This was just an illustration of something much bigger that the nation of Israel was supposed to learn. And some of them did. Deuteronomy chapter 8, Moses explains it this way, starting in verse 1. He says, "Every commandment which I command you today, you must be careful to observe, that you may live and multiply, and go in and possess the land of which the Lord swore to your fathers, to test you, to know what was in your heart, whether you would keep His, whether you would keep God's commandments or not." Simple as that. It was a test for the nation of Israel. Continuing on in verse 3, it says, "So we humbled you, allowed you to hunger, and feed you with manna, which you did not know, nor did your fathers know, that He might make you know that man shall not live by bread alone, but man lives by every word that proceeds from the mouth of the Lord." The Word of God, brethren, is a precious treasure, and we need it as desperately as we need the Israelites needed manna, right? That's the point of my message today. Now is the time to be reading and studying our Bibles. It's the only way we can stay close to God and to learn from Him and how He wants us to live our lives. Are we eager to gather what we need each day, or are we content with doing it later? Because as we all know, sometimes later never happens. Our Bibles might not dissolve in the noonday heat like manna did, but the openings in our schedules can, and a lot of times they usually do. And unless we're willing to gather the Word of God with the same urgency that the Israelites had to when they had to gather manna, we're probably not going to get what we need, spiritually speaking, out of God's Word. We're not learning. We're not growing as Christians if we do that. Simply put, we're not eating that spiritual manna that we desperately need in order to navigate through this life. Brethren, this, God's Word, is food. It's life. If we wait until we're starving to gather it up, we may not find the time to do it. Because you can only go hungry so many days before it catches up to you, right? In that scenario, your body starts to break down, and you start to not have the physical energy you need to do anything. And eventually you would die of starvation, wouldn't you? Spiritually speaking, we can also break down, can't we? And we can lose that closeness with God in Jesus Christ. We can starve ourselves from the Word of God by saying, "I'll get to it later." It's easy to do. But on the flip side of that, let's look at the other side of the coin, so to speak. Stockpiling won't do you any good either. A big meal, one day, say one day a week, one day every couple weeks, doesn't make up for the empty plate the rest of the time either. There's only one option that makes sense, and it's the only option that should we want to be doing, because it works best for us, for humanity. And that's to make God's Word a priority every day. Look at it this way. How likely are you to miss out on a day's worth of meals and go hungry? Besides atonement. Now, there are times that we also fast, whether for personal reasons, spiritual reasons, what have you. But just to say, "I'm not going to eat today," and go hungry. Do you usually do that? I can tell you that I don't. We're probably not likely. Because we know that bread alone isn't enough. We need and must hunger for the truths contained in the pages of our Bibles. So, as we have seen, time is important. And how we utilize that time is even more important to our Heavenly Father. If we can use it to draw close to Him and take action now, that's good. Instead of staying, we'll get to it later. Now, there can be times in our lives that things just get disrupted, right? People's places, events happen in our lives, or in the lives of our families, or in society, that can change things or toss things up for a bit. And the way we usually did things has changed, hasn't it? Let's just take a look at the whole COVID-19 pandemic. It still continues to go on. Think back, though, at the beginning of last year, almost a year ago, when COVID-19 was just beginning to emerge on the scene in China, right? We thought, well, it's their problem. At least that's what I thought. They would take care of it. It would never come over here, right? What does life look like these past several months, though? We weren't standing 6 feet apart from one another or told to do so. We weren't arguing the pros and cons of wearing masks. We weren't being advised whether to stagger our trips to the grocery store. And when you got there, we weren't ever wondering if there'd be toilet paper on the shelves. It was just always there. We weren't dealing with the impact of lockdowns and quarantines on our jobs and our routines. My wife and I have been working from home since last March. And we still do so today. The only time I go into work is if I had to take photographs, because all the equipment is at work. Other than that, I can do everything from home. We weren't trying to figure out, brethren, what to do about Sabbath services either, were we? We were still going to church back then. But then that changed, didn't it, for a while? We had to stay home. This day reconnects us with each other and with our Heavenly Father. And it feeds us spiritually as well as physically. The Sabbath day is vitally important to God and to all of us. And we all assume that this day would just be here, waiting for us week after week. Right? Who would have thought that at the beginning of last year, we would have a period of time where we couldn't dissemble as we did, as God instructs us to. For Bibi and myself, it was 11 weeks that we didn't attend church services at all. Almost 3 months. And we missed assembling for all of the spring holy days. Remember that? Thankfully, it looks like this year will be a little different. And the end of last year, we were able to get together for the fall holy days, which was good. So, what life lesson can we take away from all this? Here's what I do know. The things that we can take for granted at times, they aren't. They can change. They can totally disappear. And they can do so overnight. There's another thing in our lives that's extremely easy to take for granted, and that's God's truth. We are bombarded all the time, from this way, that way, and every way, because we know that that roaring lion out there doesn't want us to be sitting here today. Satan would have nothing, would like nothing better than to sway us, to deceive ourselves into thinking that we don't need God's truth. We don't need to come to Sabbath services, right? We can eat whatever we want to. That's the truth that God wants us to live by. That's the truth that we've been given. The truth that we can only see because God opened our eyes to the pages of His Word. COVID-19, nor anyone, nor anything, cannot and should not take that away from us if we don't let it. But that means, brethren, that we need to wake up each and every day and get our quota of manna so that we are spiritually filled and prepared for what lies for that day, for that week. We go through trials all the time, great and small. How do you think you can deal with them if you're not close to God and asking Him for His help or His advice, His direction? If you would turn to Matthew chapter 25. Matthew chapter 25. It's a very famous set of scripture that we'll go over. We'll take a look at how the lessons I've been talking about in regards to time and managing our time properly in order to stay close to God, how they apply to the parable of the 10 wise and foolish virgins. So right in Matthew 25, start off right in verse 1. Christ says, "Then the kingdom of heaven shall be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom," which we know to be Jesus Christ. It says, "Now 5 of them were wise, and 5 were foolish. Those who were foolish took their lamps, took no oil with them, but the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. But while the bridegroom," verse 5, "was delayed," they relaxed, right? It says, "they all slumbered and slept." Continuing on in verse 6, "And at midnight, the cry was heard, 'Behold, the bridegroom is coming. Go out to meet him.' Then all those virgins arose and they trimmed their lamps." But then something happens. Because it says, "The foolish said to the wise, 'Hey, can you give us some of your oil? For our lamps are going out. We forgot to fill ours. But we see that you have enough. Can you give us some of yours?' But the wise answered," verse 9, "and said, 'No, lest there should not be enough for all of us, for us and you.' But they said, 'Go, rather, to those who sell and buy for yourselves.' And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and those who were ready went with him to the wedding. And then the door was shut," it says. "Then afterward, those other 5 virgins finally showed up. And they said, 'Lord, Lord, open to us. Here we are. We're ready to come in.' But he answered," verse 12, "and said to them, 'Assuredly, I say to you, I do not know you.'" How would you like Jesus Christ to say those words to you? "I do not know you." It says, "Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour in which the Son of Man is coming." And that's true, we don't know. I'm not going to even get into all the political upheaval that's been going on in this country, because I really shouldn't. Our minds and our thoughts should not be focused on the outside world, even though they do, all the time. But anyone can see that times are changing. I remember as a young boy, which was a little while ago, until now, I have seen in my lifetime many changes in society, in the way things are done, in the way people dress and talk and act. And we all know that it's not getting any better. It's just getting worse. In this parable, the five foolish virgins, they took a stance of, I'll get to it later. They had their lamps, right? They had their oil. But when it came time to use it, they didn't have as much as they thought, did they? They came up short. That's why they asked the wise ones for some of theirs. They hadn't tended to their needs, spiritually speaking. They just assumed that what they believed would just always be there. And sometimes maybe we get complacent, right? Yeah, I'm called out of the world, filled with God's Spirit. I live this way of life, and I know what to do. Is that the attitude that we should have as a Christian? Or should we have zeal? Should we fight for this type of way of life? Because a lot of times we have to. We don't grow by grace and knowledge by taking God's truth for granted. We have to engage in it. We have to study it. We have to meditate on it. And we have to live by it. Just having God's word isn't enough. There are a lot of people that have God's word out there. But oil that isn't replenished will burn itself out. The word of God is a precious, precious resource. Its influence in our lives can disappear quicker than any sense of normalcy. Say, like in this pandemic. There's a sea of disagreement out there about COVID-19 and how bad it is, how we should be handling it, what we have a right to be doing even. I don't expect that to change anytime soon. I don't expect to be going back to work for a while. The global impact, though, brethren, of the coronavirus ought to leave us with at least one lesson that we can all agree on. There is a danger in taking the most important things for granted, in taking this for granted, saying, I'll get to it later, whether it's your physical Bible, whether it's on your tablet, your cell phone, what have you. Getting to God's word later usually ends up meaning that you don't get to it at all. And none of us can afford to do that, can we? We're told in Scripture to keep our nose in it, to study it, by the prophets, by Jesus Christ himself, by his disciples. They're not just saying that just for saying's sake, right? They're saying it because it's important. They're saying it because we need to be doing it if we want to continue to live this way of life and hopefully not get strayed away from it. But that means that we have to commit to something. We have to commit to some time. Set some time aside in order to do that. Later is the wrong time to be gathering spiritual bread. Get it now, and get it while you can. The world is changing, like I said, and not for the better. We can be well equipped for what lies ahead, brethren, by drawing close to God and allowing Him and Jesus Christ to lead us. But that means we need to take action by gathering and ingesting God's word each and every day.